Colossians chapter 1 verses 21 and 22, but I will read from verse 20. This is the reading of God's word. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out your grace as we hear your word, that our faith will grow, and with that growing faith, we'll be able to witness Jesus Christ and our heavenly reality that he has accomplished for us. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that you will pour out your grace that we may hear your word and understand your word, and we believe your word, and we obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us remind ourselves what we studied last time in verse 20. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, God has reconciled all things to himself, all of his people, and the new heavens and the new earth. The enemies of God have become the friends of God, but only in Jesus Christ. Through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal wrath has been appeased. His perfect justice has been satisfied, and the wage of our sins have been completely paid for. And all this is through the blood of his cross. His death on the cross is the perfect peace offering, peace sacrifice. And from verse 21 then, the Apostle Paul explains how the reconciliation that has been accomplished is related to the Colossians themselves. But you and I, we know and we believe what is true of them are also true of all Christians, including you and me. See, verses 21 and 22, they are like those before and after pictures. You know how, like, you know, commercial of diets, you have a before picture, then after picture. It's like that. Verse 21, formerly you were, and it tells you how you were. And verse 22 says, now you are. Well, let me read to you verse 21 and 22. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. It brings so much joy to hear that. It tells us how we were, but it also tells us how we are in Jesus Christ. But let's talk about how we were first. It says, formerly we were alienated, and we were hostile in mind, and we engaged in evil deeds. Now, when we talk about evil deeds, we're not talking about evil in the sense of how the world understands it. God says, have no other gods before me. But the world will go out and see, like, let's say, Buddhist. And I'm not just saying because I hate Buddhists or anything like that. It's just an example. But in worldly standard, they're not evil. They're actually better than many Christians when it comes to doing, you know, how they live their lives. But that's according to worldly standard. They're actually better than us. But they're committing the great sin. God says, have no other gods before me. So, in the sight of God, they are evil. So, you have to understand the word evil, or the phrase evil deeds, in terms of the Bible. Not in terms of how the world understands those words. And this is the reality of all that has been fallen in sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Because according to the Bible, living is not just existing. Living, life, is knowing God. So even the non-Christians, they're walking around, they're breathing, but they're not living. They're actually dead. Again, you have to understand these words according to how the Bible uses them. You are dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You were following the desires of Satan. It says that you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. We say, who lives in us? Well, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're possessed by the Holy Spirit. See, when we use the word possess, again, don't understand that in terms of Hollywood. God possesses us and we possess Him. But who lives in the non-Christian's heart? They're following that evil spirit that is dominating their lives. And again, don't understand that evil in the worldly sense. Because then if you understand it that way, then you will be very offended because you're even family member might not be a Christian, and I'm telling you, they're evil, and you're thinking, what, they're doing all these, you know, evil things. That's not what we're saying. Again, we have to understand these words according to what Bible, how Bible uses them. Among them, we too all formerly live in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. This is how we were. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8a, for you were formerly darkness. Darkness, meaning that these non-Christians, they don't They don't have light to shine upon Jesus. They don't see the truth. They don't see the path that they're walking, which leads to destruction. It's just complete darkness. It says we were alienated from God, completely separated from God. This is about complete abandonment of God, by God. No relationship with God whatsoever. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, remember that you were, see, formerly you were, at that time, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Obviously, this verse is referring to Old Testament. These new Christians, during this time of writing this Bible, that they were formerly alienated from God, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world. See, this is the reality of hell. And as the non-believers, we used to witness that reality. And this is how we were before salvation came to us. And it is a terrifying reality. All of us rebel against God. The whole self, both mind and deeds. See, sinners' minds are hostile to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 7. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. This is how we were. The whole self was against God. Oh, without even thinking, whatever truth comes, we denied it. And that's what you see when you go out and say that you are a sinner who needs Jesus. They're not going to accept. God created this whole universe with His Word. They're not going to accept. It's not just that they don't accept, they cannot accept. By nature, they cannot. Unless God comes to them and recreates them in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless they're saved, not only they don't accept, they cannot accept the truth. That's what the Bible is saying. That's why you go out and try to, you know, bring this good news to these people, but you scratch your head going, I thought I said pretty clearly, but they don't accept. That's why you have to pray. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Again, you have to understand that word evil, not the way that world understands. Because not believing other gods, these are very evil to God, but the world will never say that's evil. But their hearts was only evil continually. The mind and the heart is the problem. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Unless new heart is given, they will always do evil meaning that they will always rebel against the truth, what God says. Mark chapter 7, verse 18 through 23, and he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean." See, in the Old Testament times, certain foods are not clean, and if you eat those things, then you are defiled. But that was a typological defilement, not true defilement. We are defiled because of our evil heart. We're fallen in sin. So it's not something that goes into the man which would defile the man, but the heart is already defiled. So that everything that will come out will be defiled. And he was saying that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things, all these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. That heart, which is hostile to God, from that heart comes evil deeds, because they will never do anything with faith or in faith in Jesus Christ. And without faith, God says, everything is sin, which is evil to God's sight. And this is the truth. I don't know, some might hear that and say, "Well, that's not fair. I don't think that's evil." Exactly. That's what you think. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Because heart that is not changed, not only they subject themselves to the law of God, but they cannot do so. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let me read to you verse 28, from 28. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." And if you go a few verses, let's read from verse 26. And verse 26 and 27 talks about homosexuality, which today's society says it's not evil anymore. Verse 26, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also men abandon the natural functions of the woman and burn in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their errors. This is the judgment of God. Degrading passions and depraved minds. Oh, but don't say like that out there. Well, don't even say that in the church. Because you will be hated out there. But our purpose is not to get approval from the world. We say the truth. You know, all God's people say this is the truth. This is God's word. That we could agree on. Every Christian will say that. Well, then, that's God's word. And we need to accept. And we need to obey. See, world changes as time goes, but the word of God never changes. God never changes. What was evil 2,000 years ago is still evil. God did not go after 2,000 years ago, oh, wait a minute, I thought it wrong. I thought it was evil, but now it's not. That's not what God said. But we need to be careful. We hate the sin, but you are to love everyone. Just like you treat anybody else out there, you have to treat homosexuals. They need to hear the gospel just like any other sinners. And you do that with love. I don't mind if a homosexual walks in and sits here and worship with us. Just like your sin that you commit every time over and over again. And I ask you, the sin that you commit and the homosexual sins, which is worse? They both deserve to go to hell. So that homosexual comes into church and says, you know, I believe in God. I know it's sin. And I try my best not to sin again. But, you know, I'm weak. And then I try, but I sin again. But I repent and I try again. And he wants to follow the word. Then he is most welcome. He's just like you. But we will say that homosexuality is sin because God says it. We're not going to change that. So please go love your homosexual friends. They need to hear the gospel from you. Never, never express in a way that they could see that you think you're better than them. Then you're doing wrong. But it's so hard, huh? Because we're so sinful. We do our best to show love, but somehow we come out as somebody who's better than them. No, not better than them. Degrading passions and depraved mind, they are dominated by that. And they are, in fact, enemies of God. There is no neutral ground. Either one belongs to God or one belongs to Satan. There's no neutral ground. John chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. This is the judgment. that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. It is so hard for non-Christian to come to God and say, I sinned, I repent. That's why they avoid this light altogether. They don't want to come to the light. Because to come to the light, that means all their sins are exposed, because they have to confess all those sins that they have committed. And they will not come. And just not coming to the light itself is a judgment, which will lead to eternal judgment. But I'm glad that I got rid of all that first part, because my heart is in the second part, verse 22. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that although we were such sinners, dead in our sins, now God recreated us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, I did not say that God made us a better person. Christianity is not about being a better person. It's the new creation. That old self is now dead, and I have been resurrected to a new self. New man, which belongs to heaven. No, Christianity is not about 10 steps to become a better husband, or 5 steps to become a better wife, or how many steps, I don't know, to become whatever better. That's not what Christianity is. It's a new creation. Verse 22, yet he now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before God him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Did you hear that? Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, what kind of people we have become? What kind of people God made us to be? Because of salvation, when we go to heaven, how are we going to be in heaven? Holy and blameless and beyond reproach. This is the work of God, the perfect salvation that God has accomplished for us. He reconciled us in Christ for what purpose? It says, in order to present us before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Yes, this is our reality at the time of our Lord's second coming. Yes, this is how we're going to be. Because of what our Lord Christ has done and accomplished for us, we will stand before God as the holy and blameless people of God. Man, they could come when I go to heaven. Anybody can come and examine me any way they could, and they will not find not even one little thing to blame. Not one little thing to say you sinned. I will be beyond reproach. This is what the gospel tells us. We are not talking about the holiness and blameless and beyond reproach according to the standard of this world, but holy and blameless and beyond reproach in the sight of God. You know, we could still be holy and blameless in the sight of sinful men. But no way we could stand before God and in the sight of God that we could be holy and blameless. Unless we are in Jesus Christ. Unless all of our sins are cleansed by His blood. Unless His righteousness we wear. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, I wish I could read these verses like 100 times to you. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Being holy and blameless is God's will for us even before the creation. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 and 27, so that He might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, no wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 and 24, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. I'm not saying that you're going to be blameless and holy because of what you will do from now on. Because if that is so, we'll never be holy and blameless. But it is the work of God. God is sanctifying you. He lives in you. He works in you. He brings gospel to you. You hear it, your faith grows, you become more like Christ, and one day, truly, holy and blameless. But in spirit, see, your spirit is already holy and blameless. Jude chapter 1, well, only has one chapter. Verse 24, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. On that glorious day, as we see our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be just like Him. But remember that this is our present spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. We have been already reconciled unto Him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And He doesn't say, you will be like this, but it already happened. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Chapter 4 verse 24, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have already in Jesus Christ have become holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That is why there is no more condemnation, no more judgment for you. Because you are holy and you are blameless and you are beyond reproach in Jesus Christ. And that reality will be visible when Jesus returns. And this transformation, this new creation, is not the result of our works, our effort. You cannot make yourself blameless. You know, it really doesn't matter what I tell you to do. You know, Christianity is not pastors telling you, you know, don't lie, and you go, amen, and somehow you go out and try your best to not to lie. It will always fail. You will always fail. Christianity is believing what Christ has done for you, what He already has accomplished for you. And as you believe, and God's design is that when you believe that, that by God's grace, that you will live your life according to that belief. This is God's design. That's why it is so important that you believe. Oh yeah, when you look at yourself, there's no way you could say I'm blameless. I mean, just look at how you lived last week. You're not blameless. You're not holy. But believe. You are so not holy that it's hard to believe. Yes, I know. But believe what God says to you. Believe. It is through the blood of His cross. In our verse says, through His death in His fleshly body. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, new creation has already been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through His perfect righteous life and His death on the cross, we have been reconciled unto God. We are now His friends, His sons, holy and blameless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you hear this and rejoice. Don't let the gospel become burden to you. Because gospel is never burden. And if gospel becomes burden to you, you're not hearing it right. You're not understanding it right. Some people say, oh, you are blameless. And you go, oh, that means what? What? It becomes burden. Because then how am I going to be holy and blameless? He knows he can't. He knows how much he tries, he will never be holy, so it becomes a burden. No. You believe. And that faith will enable you to live the way that God wants you to live. And I told you before, without faith, it really doesn't matter if you improve. You're still sinning. Because you hear this kind of stuff and you say, okay, now on I'm going to do this, and you go out and you improve yourself. That's not Christianity. Because that, even non-Christian can do that. Non-Christian in whom no Holy Spirit lives, there's no grace, you know, salvation grace coming to him, and yet he could say, okay, now on I'm going to do this, and they go out and they put effort and they improve. That's not Christianity. It has to be from faith. It has to be from faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you. It is the work of God, not your work. Brothers and sisters, Now in Jesus Christ, we have joyous fellowship with our God. In Christ Jesus, we have become holy and blameless and beyond reproach in the sight of God. When we look at ourselves, it is truly hard to believe. But I keep telling you, because gospel says for us to believe. Let me end this. The complete and perfect reconciliation with God has been accomplished. All the eternal wrath of God that we deserve has been poured out completely on our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You know that eternal wrath of God that He has to pour out to sinner, pour out to you and pour out to me? He poured that wrath of God, all of it, on Jesus Christ when He was dying on that cross bearing our sins. All of His wrath has been poured out as far as wrath that is due to you. So, there is absolutely no wrath of God for our sins left in God's heart. Absolutely no more wrath of God for you. Because He poured all out on Christ. Because He was bearing your sins. A question naturally arises in our heart. Why would such a holy and righteous God want to be reconciled with sinners like us? Why? I don't know. God says because He loves us, but why does He love us? I don't know. But that's the gospel. Truly amazing grace. When it comes to our relationship with our God, He did not do anything wrong. And we did, all we did is wrong. And yet, it was He who wanted to reconcile with us. Even though we did all wrong, but He wanted to reconcile. Amazing grace. Truly, truly amazing. Oh, brothers and sisters, praise God and give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. He loves you. And we love Him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You have done and accomplished in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, it is so amazing that it was Your desire to be reconciled with us. Sinners who rejected You and who denied You. But You still loved us. And while we are still enemies of You, You sent Your Son and He died bearing our sins. Oh Father, let us truly understand the purpose in Your salvation. How we will be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And let us also believe that that reality is already our spiritual reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us, so that we may live out of that faith. So that with that faith, through that faith, that we could show as we live our lives here who we truly are in Jesus Christ. Oh, pour out Your grace upon us that we may do this. To bring glory and honor to You. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.